folks. It's another crazy weekend show, the Andy and Amanda Show. I am your co-host, Andy Kimball. We have Amanda Love on the other side of the world in the UK.
We do.
Hey, here we go.
Yeah.
It's amazing how this all seems to work out. As come Friday, we got it all together, you know.
I know, right?
And we start again Monday all over again with the, you know, where are you? I don't know. It's not working. Can't get on. I don't know. But anyway, by the end of the week,
I know the madness.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. How you doing there, kiddo? How's it going?
I'm doing perfect, sweetheart. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Did you know your boss got married? Not your boss. What do you call him? Your prime minister.
My prime minister. He got married. Is that right?
Did you? So yeah, he did. I didn't know that.
How is it I didn't know that?
See? I'll take care of you.
What is going on?
In secrecy.
Okay. How did you know about it if it was in secret?
I was invited.
Oh, what? Okay, wait a minute. You were invited.
What?
And I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
he got married to our, what's her name? Carrie Staples or something like that?
Carrie Staples. Oh, I didn't realize. Carrie Staples.
I was like a porn star.
Yes,
it really does. It sounds like a
Carrie Staples. Oh, I love it. I don't think that's her name, right?
Boris Badenoch, or not Boris? I'm going great, aren't I? Boris Badenoch marries Carrie. Boris Johnson marries Carrie Staples. Carrie Staples, the porn star. Mm-hmm. Here we go again. Here we go again. God.
Oh wow. Well, that was the intro that we needed for sure.
Oh my God. Well, you know.
You're the greatest. You're the elder statesman of humor. You deserve attention and respect.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Did you,
it was not intentional. I have to figure out who.
Yeah.
I have to read my invitation again. Wait a minute. Let me go find my invitation. Let me see.
Carrie Simmons.
Here we go.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, I like Staples better.
Yeah, right? Carrie Staples.
Yes. Unbelievable.
So they actually married, or they're getting married?
No, they get married.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I'm seeing it now. Wow. Boris Johnson.
You're seeing the wedding?
No. Oh. I'm seeing a report saying Boris Johnson and Carrie Simmons receive a wedding gift for royalty. Oh. That's nice for them. Wow. Okay.
You want something?
I have no clue.
We have a special report. I think actually a real report from IVT News or media or something. Because I picked up this clip, which I got to find here somewhere. But
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm seeing. Wow. Yeah. Westminster Cathedral. Okay. Wow. That was kept quiet.
Wasn't it, though? How do you like the fact that in California, here in Hollywood, California, I've got to announce to the UK some major news about your own prime minister?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, you know.
No, it's just pretty intimidating.
They kept it so quiet. Even his own, they kept it really, really quiet, obviously.
Wow.
Really quiet. But we found...
Well, that's the thing, Andy. I've scoured the news, okay, and you know I usually, my number one source, usually I go to BBC because out of all of them, mm-hmm. they've been the most stable mm-hmm. in what they provide. The others, like the Sun and the Times and, you know, they're great, but I mm-hmm. trust the BBC more than any of them. And when I was going over the news, there wasn't anything that was prominent about Boris Johnson at all. I think it's all been to do with COVID and this police officer, which I'll share with you guys. But I've not seen anything to do with Boris. Mm. And now I'm on Google, after you mention it, I type it in, and it's got 4 days ago, 5 days ago, 3 days mm-hmm. ago. Where was all of this?
Isn't it something?
Stunned. And anyway, congratulations, yeah. Boris and Carrie Staples. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Carrie. Oh, that was good. That was good. You are quick. That was very good. That was very good. Yeah, spoken like a true news person. Yes, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was very good. Guess, but that's kind of interesting news. You know, that's kind of whoa, you know. Like, I don't think it's ever happened before where a prime minister of the UK actually got married while in office. I think it's the first time it's ever happened, I think. I'm pretty sure
I've not heard of it before.
Yeah.
I know they were – it's actually surprising. I'm glad to see them doing so well because they were having some issues going back. He was all over the headlines and stuff. You know, as he was wanting to be prime minister, and this was before he actually got in to be prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they exploit everybody, don't they? They did like Biden and Trump and –
oh yeah.
As soon as they know you're trying to get somewhere, hey, let's find the best headlines and dirty gossip we can find about them and spread it all over the news. Well, there was mm-hmm. a lot going on with their relationship. They were having arguments and stuff, and shouting could be heard outside their apartment and things like that.
Really?
So that was all over the news, and so that was a crazy time for Boris. You know, he's defending this and defending that, and so it's good to see them doing well, and congratulations, guys. I hope you have a long and happy marriage, and show the world what you're made of.
Let's hear. Right? Let's hear that the actual news announcement was regarding this. We have it here on. Happen to have a copy of that. The actual news announcement here.
Clandon performed in secret. The Prime Minister and Carrie Simmons celebrate their wedding that almost no one knew was happening. Downing Street releasing these pictures of the now Mr. and Mrs. Johnson today after marrying on Saturday afternoon. A marquee in the garden of number 10 this morning, the only sign a celebration took place. The couple hosting a small group of family and friends who were reportedly only told themselves at the last minute. Even the Prime Minister's sister, Rachel Johnson, earlier refusing to reveal whether she herself had attended the low-key ceremony at Westminster Cathedral, the first UK Prime Minister to marry while in office in almost 200 years. Such was the secrecy surrounding this ceremony yesterday that some senior Downing Street staff didn't even know it was happening. Meanwhile, down here at the cathedral, visitors were ushered out of the building around half an hour before Boris Johnson and Carrie Simmons made the short journey here to tie the knot in secret in front of a small number of guests before making their way back to Downing Street with virtually no one knowing it had even happened. COVID rules only allowed 30 people to attend, but there are questions over whether Catholic rules allow the twice-divorced Prime Minister to even marry here. Divorced people cannot remarry in Catholic ceremonies, and although Boris Johnson's previous two marriages were outside the Catholic Church, some priests are still not happy.
In the eyes of the Church, those first and second marriages would not be counted as marriages at all, and therefore he would be free to marry. Now, the problem is in the perception. People are understandably concerned that the Catholic Church looks as though it's making an exception for somebody who is powerful and privileged, and that would not be available to ordinary churchgoers.
But for Boris Johnson, he now returns once again to questions of COVID. He and his wife have delayed their honeymoon and a bigger celebration until the summer of 2022, while he decides whether or not to delay lifting restrictions this summer for the rest of us. Daniel Hewitt, ITV News.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's,
there you go.
There you go. You know what's interesting? You know, you listen to that clip and you hear about the Catholic Church does not recognize somebody getting married again, or I guess divorced and married. That's crazy.
That's right.
That's nutso. That's ridiculous. So I don't mean to offend any, you know, conservative Catholics out there, but what that means is that if you're unhappily married in the Catholic Church, you've got to stay there. You can't get divorced and remarried, and you're not entitled to an enjoyable, happy, effective life with somebody who you actually fall in love with and want to marry. You can't do it because the church says you can't. Is that true?
And absolutely. I mean, the other thing is as well is if you've learned from the first experience about this approach, what marriage is truly seen as in the eyes of religion. So mm-hmm. when the two people unite in that way and they're meant to stay together because they make that commitment, and we've talked on commitment mm-hmm. on our previous love shows.
Yeah,
that,
we did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, how important that is and what is a commitment for you and all that kind of thing. So in the eyes of religion, you make that bond, that commitment, you are tied to it in a spiritual sense. So mm-hmm. the fact that they don't want you getting divorced, and then when you do get divorced, it's seen as a sin and blah, blah, blah. I get it. I understand where they're coming from. However, if you've learned from that first experience and you've transformed as a person, spiritually, you know, emotionally, whatever you want to label it as, and you then approach marriage to the person you think is the right one for you at that time that you can make that personal spiritual mm-hmm. commitment to them, you should be able to have that opportunity to then live that belief, that religion in that
sure.
moment with that person, a second chance. And I don't believe, and I know this is getting quite deep now, but I don't believe that we don't have second chances in life, whether it's spiritually or, you know, in a humanity sense, whatever you want to label it as. I do believe in second chances if it feels
yes.
right, if it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's we didn't come here to not make mistakes.
Everyone
Correct. Makes mistakes.
Yes.
That's what this
I
life is all
you.
About, is making those mistakes and learning from it.
Yeah.
And
you're like,
oh,
you know,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Right?
Yeah. Right. You know, that's, but what I question
yeah.
is the guidelines and the force, for lack of another or better word, as the case might be, that the church, religion, has over somebody's well-being and happiness, because they did
yeah.
and you know, when it comes right down to it, I married into a very big Catholic family, and they've broken every rule in the book, you know.
Okay.
As far as I can see, you know, okay, not every rule in the book, but you know, but a lot of things that would be, according to the church, quote unquote, would be shunned or whatever, you know, and they're great people, you know, and you know, there's, but I wonder, do people actually say I can or I can't do this in my life because the church says I can't or I can, and how do people say,
right.
well, you know, yeah, I'm a Catholic, yeah, I believe in God, yes, I go to church, yes, I say grace before my meals, and I'm a church going great, effective, average citizen, and my reliance on a God has a lot to do with that, and more power to you if that's how you live your life. I think it's terrific. I think it's great, but. The
yeah.
question is, when it comes something to do with you fall in love with somebody, you're married, and it didn't work, or you're married and you can't get divorced because the church says you can't get divorced. It's a sin if you do, and you live your life mm-hmm. unhappy. And I don't know how many people actually do that. I think people would say, fuck that. You know, this ain't working. If you had an affair, I'm having an affair. I love this girl I'm having an affair with, whatever it is, right? Just. Or you know what? I'm a closet you know, homosexual, whatever the case might be, or you know, whatever. There's a billion things why that might happen. You know, you're not happy in a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not working out. Your significant other had an affair. You had an affair. You realize that you're attracted to the same sex all this time. You've been hiding that. You know, there's a billion different things that can cause an unhappy relationship. And the question is, how much reliance does, you know, the average person living on this earth have upon the ability of the church to dictate regarding what is appropriate in their own personal lives? And when it comes right down to it, right before you cross that line, you just say, the hell with that church thing. I'm doing what I feel I need to do because it's my life and I need to do it. And I think that's you know. Our number here is 515-605-9888. If you want to climb on board, you can chime in now. We have open lines, of course. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. It's Friday, June 4th already. I cannot believe it's June 4th.
I know. It's gone so quick.
Unreal.
It is going quick.
Unreal. And we archive these shows. You know, they're all online. We have 61 shows now being distributed by iTunes and iHeartRadio and Pandora and Spotify and Alexa and Google and, you know, Amazon. And,
Yeah. You know,
you get the idea. A lot of platforms, more platforms than I can name. And we thank them for carrying our show. But we have 61 shows now. This will make 62, which is out there as a podcast. We have a caller on the line now. Again, it's 515-605-9888. I think we have a caller now from a very frigid environment up north somewhere. I believe it looks this call's coming in from where? From the North Pole? Wait a minute. That can't be right. Let me check out. Let me see. Ho, ho, ho. Hello?
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey!
Hey! What's up, guys?
Hey!
What's up? I made it.
Coordinator.
Yes, it's Friday, so I said I'm going to make it.
It's the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger. Hey, Cornell.
Yes, it's the Lone Ranger.
This is Mr. Cornell Butler. This is the guy who's calling in now, folks, for those of you who don't know or for fans of the show, you do know. He introduced Amanda and I, and the three of us had never met, but he put this whole show together and is behind the scenes making it happen. And that's what he does. Cornell Butler.
He's amazing.
How you doing, man?
Yeah.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda. We love you. Y'all know how I feel.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
Happy Easter, y'all.
Happy Easter, man.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it. How's your day going? Is it going good?
Everything is great. I'm driving in the Andy and Amanda mobile car right now, so if you hear anything in the background, it's my air conditioner.
I hear something in the background. Wait a minute. Wait, I do hear something.
Yes.
Ooh.
That don't sound like air conditioning to me.
Oh, that sounds like your fans.
I have a school bus. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Don't get the idea. It was mere entertainment.
See? Well, I have a school bus fan in my car, so, you know, hopefully give me some fresh air.
Fantastic. Oh, it's so good to have you as sweetheart. We love having you calling in. And I know everybody else loves having you call in because you're just so badass and awesome.
Yeah.
You bet.
I got that Friday feeling. You know what I mean, guys? Yeah.
Yes. Happy Friday, everybody. All the listeners, happy Friday, Andy and Amanda.
Thank you, darling. Thank you so much. I'm feeling it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Cornell.
Andy. Andy said, Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm looking for the appropriate question of the day. I think we've asked you this before, and we have yet to get an answer, but we'll try it again.
When you go out on a date with a guy, like, how soon should you guys, I guess, have sex?
Mm-hmm. I would say the same night.
I think a lot of people would, in all fairness.
Hey, you gotta test it out to see if you want to be with it for a long time, you know?
you do. You know something interesting? My grandmother's sister's husband. But I think that makes him an uncle of mine. I guess my grandmother's sister's husband. I don't know what that is. I remember him telling me one time. Yeah. I must have been 16 or 17 years old, or younger, somewhere around there. And he was a real nice guy. He used to take me out in his boat all the time, and he was a real, real nice guy, real, real nice guy. And I remember one time he told me, he asked me when I was 15 or 16, I remember him saying this, I can play it in my head like an audio tape recording. He said, have you made the scene yet? I was very active I think he had met my girlfriend, actually, because we were together a lot. And he met my girlfriend at the time. He asked if I'd made the scene yet. She was a very sexy looking girl. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way you go.
Mm-hmm. Arsenio Hall,
thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And So, you know, so he asked me, he said, yeah.
I thought that was a manager. I was like, oh my God. No, when I heard that, because you say, and I heard it.
Oh my goodness. Go now.
Yeah.
Irish. So,
he did ask me that. He asked me. He asked me that, and he said, look, here's what, you know, he's married, you know, he's I guess a guy in his 70s at the time, I remember, whatever, but, you know, I was a young teen or something, mid-age teen, whatever, right there in the mid-teens. And so he said, you know, some advice, you know, sometime when you're doing it, you know, when you're there with this girl and she's, you know, laying there like naked or something, you know, before you make a commitment for the rest of your life, you know, make sure that this is what you want to wake up to. This is what you want to go to bed with, like, every day, every night. And I'm like, you know, it was just advice to me.
Wow.
Wow.
You know,
that's some interesting advice.
Thank you, Uncle Bob. You know, how many uncles would give their teenage, well, I guess it was a nephew, whatever that relationship, whatever it is, my grandmother's sister's husband, whatever that makes, I guess, you know, I don't know, whatever that is. But anyway,
yeah.
I guess uncle of some sort, whatever. But anyway. How many uncles would give their whatever I was, nephew or whatever, that, you know, as a teen, 16 years old, let me give you some advice. You know, when you're laying there, you know, she's sleeping or whatever, you just kind of look, you know, like, you know, take a good look, you know, it's like they send the rover to Mars. You send, like, you know, you walk, you know, you take a look, you know, make sure. And I'm like, okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I don't know why, but that sounds delicious the way you just said it, Andy. He's like, thank you. I'm like, what is it? It's kind of like ice cream or something like that. He's like, oh, yeah, just take a look.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Wanted me to put like a wetsuit over them, so they wanted to be like suspended on this cross via a wetsuit.
Somebody asked if they could put a Twix bar, the chocolate bar, in my butt, and then I would like poop it out, I get like ejected, and then they wanted to eat it.
Wow.
I declined that one.
I've had a guy ask me to sit on his lap while he pees, but I had.
Yeah, wow. So you got to make sure. You got to look into all the things that you're into. You know what I mean? That's my point here.
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to ask you a question since we're talking about that. Do girls, good girls, like bad guys or good guys?
Oh man, this question gets thrown around so much. Wow. Okay, so there. It's just a personal choice. It's a personal choice. I think, you know, there are plenty of the women out there who prefer. I'm not going to just say a guy because you got to talk about the gay community as well.
It's
so
vice versa too. It's
yeah,
versa.
You know, women like the gay community, you'll still have girls or men who will look for a more feminine or more masculine quality within that person. So in a straight relationship, it's no different. That woman will either prefer somebody who has got that edge, you know, that can be that man and he's very manly and, you know, and some of them prefer to go for a more sensitive fella. Doesn't make him any less of a man, right? He can still have
definitely
that edge, you know? But
now,
I think this whole bad guy, good guy thing, it's bullshit. It gets thrown around so much, and I think...
You're right.
You know.
This is unbelievable, because I knew, I'm not going to mention her name, I knew this girl. She was married to a doctor, right? And I think he was in a nuclear medicine. Correct me on that, nuclear medicine? Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, that's correct. Medicine? Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's making great money, and she left her husband for a musician.
Right.
An artist. Yeah, she wanted to be with the musician. And this guy was a starving musician, but she loved him and fell in love with the musician.
What a romantic story that is. That's a nice story. That's a nice story.
Very sweet.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know.
That's a very nice story. I like that. Of course, I'm a starving musician myself. But
myself.
I like the story. Money does not buy happiness. You've heard that billion.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And everybody always likes different things in different people, you know? It's like that person, like the artistic quality and the grounded kind of, I don't know, spiritual, semi-spiritual sense about a musician. Because let's face it, artistic people, creative people have that edge to them. They appear quite deep, thoughtful, passionate, mm-hmm. because they mm-hmm. have that creative sense about them. That's, I've noticed that with creative people, that they have that kind of edge to them. And I don't really know how to put it into better words than that. I'm being,
yeah.
you guys will surely know where I'm coming from, because you both have that creative edge too, right?
Yeah.
You, you, well, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I married her.
See?
There you go. There you go.
I wonder how many people out there in relationships, you know, wherever you might be, because of money. I guess how many people are really in relationships? They're not truly in love. They may, you know, you're with somebody, you may like them, you love them as people, and you're best of friends in a way, you know. But mm-hmm. but being truly in love, that is the question.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
We might just
yeah.
Do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. Hello, China. Hello.
I know. Hello. We have so many questions to ask China. They must be fed up with us by now. But
yeah.
we're interested. We want to know.
China is sponsoring us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned their name so much.
We do. But, you know, most of the questions we have to ask China are all around, you know, about the, you know, just about, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for them to make a pill to make you do that.
That'll be a whole other performance.
Sounds like some new flare medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
I must say.
Yeah,
I must say.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yep.
Not even the sex so much, but you know, there are days when you just don't want to go to work.
Sure.
I think, isn't it degrading for a man, though, when they hear somebody says, oh, I prefer a bad boy or a good guy? It's like, it must be, like, offensive to you guys, because it's like, well, hello, I have that edge about me that, you know, I can be masculine, I can be these things. I'm also sensitive. That doesn't make me any less of a man, right?
Right.
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
It makes me less of a man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. No, Andy, no.
No. But I think you're absolutely, you're right. You know, it's interesting when you just look at personal experience. You know, we've talked about this before, you know, many times, like, you know, picking up, meeting people at, you know, absence of COVID, of course, but meeting people at public places and bars and restaurants and going out and parties and stuff, like what the normal approaches are, what people say. We've had some fun with that. But you wonder, like, what the average girl, single girl, group of girls, they go out to a public place and some guys approach. Do they prefer the cowboy type of guy, you know, the more masculine kind of, hey, you know, or the sensitive new age guy, you know? I wonder.
Yeah.
Call us, girls, 515-605-9888. What do you think? You know, what's your opinion on that? What kind of guys do you like? You know,
I think,
I think they label,
I think the whole category of labeling, I've had friends that fall into the category of dating as bad guys, okay? Let's just label it as that. Put it over there in that box just for now. Because, you know, they've got into this pattern, which we've talked about before, where they keep dating the same kind of people because they don't have enough self-worth. They've had a lot of experiences that have made them and shaped them to be insecure in a level that makes them believe they only are capable of having love from one type of person. And usually that person labeled as a bad boy is someone who treats them the way they believe they deserve to be loved, as opposed to how they
that's
are
true.
Truly meant to be loved. So
that's
they
why,
will
that's
then
why.
Attract those people. That's okay, darling.
Yeah. That's why everybody liked the Fonz. Remember the Fonz? Back in the day?
Yes.
Yeah.
He got all the girls, didn't he? The Fonz.
Yes.
The Fonz, yeah. That's right. Because they're believing that I deserve this type of character. You know, they make me feel this way. I believe that's all I deserve. And therefore, they keep on attracting the same people. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, those relationships don't work out and they end up getting somebody else who they think, oh, yeah, well, this one could be the right one. But hey, it turns out they're just like the previous partner I had. And that just pattern keeps forming. And then there's other people that have a very happy relationship with a bad boy because, you know, that's what they truly want for themselves, someone of that character, that nature, you know. someone that makes them feel more of a woman or whatever that may be for that person, more of a man, if it's a gay relationship. It affects us differently. We all want different things from different people. That's what makes us unique, right? I don't know. I'm going around in circles here, but you guys get what I'm saying, right? Please tell me you do.
No, I don't. Not at all.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Well, back in my time, a lot of girls used to turn it because they always liked the guys that was like the bad guys. And, so it was kind of hard because I was a shy guy back in my days. And I was into my books and everything. They didn't want to talk to me. But after, they start dating with the bad guys, the guys that's out there and all that stuff, after they've been used by these guys, then they wanted to come back to me. So what you doing, Cornell? What's up with you? But after you did everything with this guy, now you want to talk to me because I have a career and I'm doing my life right. Now you want to come, after you done been used with this guy, now you want to come back to me and try to marry me. You understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying. It's like they had to have a taste of that bad boy character to understand, well, actually, this is not for me. It's all very appealing and sexy and attractive on the surface because, it's almost animal in that sense of being the bad person and appearing tough and can look after you and themselves and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's an attraction for a lot of women. It's more the confidence that a bad boy comes across with. It's that confidence and that, that edge that they've got, I think, that creates that environment that attracts that woman and says, I want this from them. Yeah, look at them. Wow, they're so sexy. But then when they receive all the other crap that comes along with it, it's like, wait, this person's actually insecure. They've got a lot of problems. There's a reason they turned out this way, blah, blah, blah. It's not for me.
Do you ever feel that...
Wish, and I guess men sometimes don't know what to say.
It will be...
Mm-hmm.
I miss that guy.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is the bad guys are sitting there not doing anything right now, but the good guys that went to school, got the education, got their degrees, now they running the country. Or they CEOs and everything. Now the girls are looking at them like, oh my gosh, I could have been with this guy. But no, he was a geek back in the day.
Did you ever notice, like, just going out, through the years of my life, through decades, years of my life, that you sometimes you go out somewhere and you're wherever you might be, and you see these very attractive, sexy-looking women with some guy that just seems like, what the hell is she doing with him kind of thing. Just, it doesn't mean the guy's not got, somebody's got a lot of money, been successful, been a CEO, has fancy cars, flies around over the place, travels, a lot of money. And I guess there's an attraction there. Yes, Amanda, do you think? I mean, and that kind of dominates the deeper sense of...
Again, it's like everybody looking at everything on the surface, isn't it? We're trying to assess.
Mm-hmm.
We see this, build this story. So we've got this extremely attractive, gorgeous, feminine creature who's dating this guy who appears to be not so attractive, but he's extremely successful. So immediately we look at them like on the surface, oh, well, he's not that pretty to look at, but she's amazing. So we immediately assess the beauty side of things and think, wow, what is she doing with him? Because he's not attractive to us. But for her, he may be extremely attractive. And it might not just be about the success. Maybe the success is what helps make him even more attractive. And the fact that he's confident enough to create that success for himself, which makes him even more attractive. Because people immediately, it's looks first, isn't it? It's always looks first. Personality usually comes second with people. And it's a shame it's that way, but it's true. And then, we don't take into consideration the things like the confidence of someone who doesn't look that attractive, but that makes them extremely attractive. There's so many elements to it. And I think we just see everything on the surface. Oh, what's she doing with him? He doesn't look that nice, or, I don't get it. But in her mind, she's like, yeah, well, this makes complete sense to me. This is fucking amazing,
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a friend of mine who's former. I'm friends with a lot of former girlfriends in my life, which is kind of cool. You know, a lot of girls have had relationships that were still really, really good friends today, and that's really nice.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's kind of it's kind of cool to have, and it's kind of unique, I must say, from what I found. You know, that most people end up relationships, and their relationship literally just dwindles to, you know, they never speak or see each other for years, if at all. And I've been fortunate enough to maintain relationships and friendships with a lot of girls that we dated for some time or a little bit of time, whatever, you know, and it's been nice. But one friend of mine who, we dated our late teens, early 20s, you know, and had this very incredible relationship down on the beach in Florida that went on for a while and continued up north for a while. And she got married to the very next guy that came along, which is also, you know, you want to get married, you date me for a while because you married the very next guy. That was my history. That was my MO for a while. Girls would date me. Then they would marry the very next guy who came along, because after they date me, they know what they don't want. They know what they don't want. So next guy's like, whoa, okay.
know, no.
But anyway, so she got married and separated, divorced, you know, kids and everything, and met this guy who's very, very, very wealthy, who claimed to be single. And I warned her. She talked to me all about. She'd call me from the limousine on the way to Kennedy Airport because he's jetting her off to some island somewhere where he rented a chateau in France or whatever it might be, all over the world. You know, he's taking her, wining her, dining her, and all this money and limousines and fancy airplanes and, you know, chateaus and this incredible life. And, you know, every time she calls me, she's jetting off somewhere. You know, And I warned her, and I told her the whole time. I said something that's not quite right here. You know, how do you know he's not married? How do you know he's not? Well, he said he's not. Da-da-da. And this is also the catch. She never went inside his house. I think he had a house. He was in Texas or in California. I forget where, but maybe in California. Anyway, he drove her by the house, but never took her inside. I said, doesn't that ring any kind of bell? Like, why wouldn't he take you? And so, well, kids are there, don't want to, you know, whatever. And then months go by, months, and she's falling for this guy. He's not particularly attractive. He's overweight. He's not a particularly attractive guy, and has a lot of money. And so months go by, and then she gets a call from his wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit. Wow.
I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so, you know. And then she, even after that, she went on, you know, disbelieving and what, and confronted him and what, and then finally it ended up, you know, the long of it, you know, after they stopped seeing each other, after she's pulled the plug finally, and it didn't happen right away, but finally pulled the plug. He ended up in jail, or because of all the money that he had was stolen, or Ponzi schemed, or something like that, or, you know, frauded, IRS issues. Yeah, so it was all a big facade. You know, all his money was obtained in a non-legitimate manner. And had, you know, there you are, some susceptible girl, got over a divorce, you know, finds this guy, starts treating you like royalty, and lies to you. But just, you know, there's always something that's like, isn't there always something that should make you question, even if somebody is not outright, let's say, lying, let's say, it's true but not accurate kind of thing. Well, this is true, but not exactly the way it is, you know, true but not, you know, accurate. And I remember my own instance, you know, my wife, you know, we got a gig at a university 3.5 hours from my house, and we got another house there to accommodate her and the kids, and it was really, and as opposed to being much further away, which was the original plan, it was enabled me to commute back and forth. It was only 3.5 hour drive each way, and I'd be on a trip, I'd be playing gigs, or, you know, I traveled a lot, and I'd meet some women, and I'd say, oh, yeah, well, my wife is, you know, live in Philly. Well, we have another house where my wife lives. My wife's, And I don't wear a wedding ring, right? I don't, because I just don't like jewelry or tattoos. I just don't, you know, it's nothing to do with that. I don't see why you have to announce what your status is in public. Oh, I got to announce my status. What the fuck is that about? Anyway, So Sam Grohl lifts up my hand because I haven't worn a wedding ring in a very, very long time. There's no tan, there's no white mark tan line, you know. So she picks up my left hand and looks, okay, you're cool. I said, what? She said, you wouldn't believe how many guys, they go out and they take off their rings and you can look in their hand where the ring is, was, you know, and they're obviously like.
Yeah.
I said, and assume, no, my wife lives away, but we're not divorced or anything. We're not, I thought you were, because I wouldn't make an aggressive move. I would just be friendly and have fun and flirt like hell. I love to flirt. I love girls. I'm a flirt with the best of them. Believe me, I'm into all that stuff.
And oh, somehow I believe
girls.
That, Andy.
Yeah, I don't make a secret. I really am very, yeah. You know, I'm very attracted to women and girls, and there's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know. But you do definitely draw the line somewhere, and
of course, yeah.
You know, but I, you know, I hate to think, and I may have, I might be guilty of leading girls on in the past potentially. I may have done that. I may have not intentionally, so believe me, not intentionally, just because, oh yeah, he doesn't wear a ring, you know, he's single, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm just speaking as a guy, and I'm, you know, just my experience, that's all I can relate to really. Is that because I don't have a ring on, because I'm kind of flirty, and they don't ask, they don't see a ring, therefore they don't ask if I'm married or not, they assume you're not because you don't have a ring on.
Mm. Yeah,
but
again, it's all assumptions, isn't it? Yeah,
it's all yes, yeah. Amanda, yes, assumptions.
Always.
Dangerous, yeah. To assume. ASS, yes, of you and me. You know how that goes. You break
it
that
really
word apart.
Is. Yeah, yeah, I agree with you.
It does. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we got talking about that in this, but it's always fun. Always fun. Hey, Joe, if you're out there in South Dakota. You call us, you know, this is, you know, we have this caller, Joe, every time we talk about love, relationships, and sex, Joe seems to call in. If you're listening, you can do that. We have an open line. Cornell's still on there. He's probably doing something back behind the scenes because...
I'm still on here. I just didn't want to disturb y'all because I was on the road, and I didn't want to, you know, get in the show, you know, the bump on the road. You know, I'm in the Andy and Amanda mobile car, so...
There we go. We have a mobile, yes. It's like the Batmobile. It's the Andy and Amanda show.
Yes, we everywhere.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a bit like the one Back to the Future because it time travels as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you know what? I was tired the other day.
You was? Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I took the afternoon and with my younger daughter. And she was tired too. She's beat. I forget. She's long night partying, whatever. I don't remember. But anyway, she was tired too.
Yeah.
And we just took the afternoon and we watched Back to the Future 3 together. Just crashed on the couch and just watched Back to the Future 3. And yeah, it's such a cute movie. Those Back to the Future movies are so cute. So cute.
I love them. Yeah.
Yeah, aren't they good? Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about. Yeah. I just thought of the time travel machine. You know, this thing is going on in the UK now regarding COVID and so forth, and Boris Staples.
Yeah, Boris Staples, yeah.
Let's take a listen.
I can see nothing in the data at the moment that means we can't go ahead with step four or the opening on June the 21st, but we've got to be so cautious because there's no question the ONS data of infection rates is showing an increase. We always knew that was going to happen. Don't forget, we always said that the unlocking steps that we've taken would lead to increases in infection. What we need to work out is to what extent the vaccination program has protected enough of us, particularly the elderly and vulnerable, against a new surge. And there, I'm afraid, the data is just still ambiguous. The best the scientists can say at the moment in their guidance to us is that we just need to give it a little bit longer. I'm sorry that's frustrating for people. I know that people want a clear answer about the way ahead for June the 21st, but at the moment we just got to wait a little bit longer.
Yes, so we don't know.
Yeah.
you know, it's kind of interesting there. You guys have been up and down and up and down, opening, close, opening, close, opening,
my
close.
God. It's been an absolute nightmare for the UK. I mean, it's in all honesty, it's felt like one huge lockdown that's just been continuous from the time COVID started. Because even though we came out of lockdown for those brief moments of time, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to get back to normal, to feel like life was back to normal before, hey, we're back down here again. So it's literally felt like one very dark, long winter for us. I mean, the reason he's doing that is because our infection rates have increased like 3/4 within a week. So there's big concern about it. And I know that they've now they've authorized the Pfizer vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. So they're going to be giving that out. And they're trying to get people from Britain back home from Portugal, because Portugal's now gone from green to amber because of COVID there. So they're trying to get everybody home from there before, you know, it gets taken off the green list. But, yeah, so things are pretty crazy with that, with COVID right now here, my darling. And I don't know where it's going yet, but I think it's just going to be a slight delay because, as Boris said, we've all been expecting another jump. He did predict this going back, that we're going to have another jump over the summer. Because,
yes, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Increase over summer periods. So we've all been expecting it, but I think nobody wants to hear it right now. Not one person. We're just done. Everybody here is just done.
And what we're seeing here is, I'm sure you are there too, is that people, even who aren't getting vaccinated or haven't yet been vaccinated, are out there with this ease feeling that it's over, we're returning to normal, and it is not over for them. They can get sick, they can die, they can infect others who haven't been vaccinated, they can die. There's no difference between now and a year ago for folks who aren't defending themselves. Here's the other issue that just came to surface regarding vaccines, and it all centers around a 73-year-old woman who was taking amniosuppressants because of a chronic inflammation of the lungs, which they gave her some drugs. And what they're seeing now, if you're taking drugs that suppress your immunology, your immunologic system, because this woman, upon receiving a blood test, and she was vaccinated, saw no antibodies for the coronavirus, even though she was vaccinated, because she was taking other drugs that suppressed her immunologic system. So now we're talking about 60 million Americans, and I don't know about around the world, I'm just speaking for America, 60 million Americans who are taking some sort of immunosuppressant, who may have also been or will be vaccinated, the potential for the vaccine to have no effect because of the other drugs that you're taking. Now, here's where this comes into play. How many times have we seen commercials for a prescription pharmaceutical that the warnings, you could die because of this kidney disease, and it goes real fast, excessive bleeding, or things like death can happen. Oh, yeah, I want to take that. Oh, I can't wait. You know, and you get, they haven't had the opportunity to explore all the various combinations of drugs that should or should not be taken with when you're taking a vaccine for the coronavirus. Because this thing was all done under emergency authorization. They did an extensive testing, to say, okay, are people reacting? Are they having adverse reactions? Are they dying from the vaccine? Are they getting sick and, whatever?
Yeah.
No, we're good. Yeah. And is it preventing the virus from affecting the human body? Yes, it does. Get it out there, goddammit. Get it out there.
Yeah.
And all these other drugs that we've seen on television, that we've heard on radio, with the should not be taking if you're taking this, should not be taking if you have symptoms of this, should not be taking if you're dying, should not be it could cause you to die. All these different things that you hear and see are because what they've done is lengthy years of study that that combine certain pharmaceuticals with other pharmaceuticals to see what the potential combination is on the human body in terms of the physiology and what that combined effect might be. We didn't have those studies with this vaccine, or if we had them, they were very minimal, right? So now what you're going to start seeing, remember we heard this on the Andy and Amanda show, like you've had other things like who's going to win the presidential election months before it ever happened and by what number. Okay. Anyway, you've heard this on the Andy and Amanda show. I just had to pat myself on the back. But anyway, sorry about that. just watch what happens now on the news regarding folks a large percentage of the population is on some type of pharmaceutical, some type of drug, prescription drug, that plays with our natural defense system, right, immunology. And now, what does that drug? How does that drug interface with the vaccines that are given to combat? And we're going to start seeing this. Is the Pfizer and the Moderna. Thank you. And the Australopithecus.
Mandela
vaccine. Here I'm going to this thing and I end up, anyway, we're talking about beer, but anyway, does the other pharmaceuticals prevent these COVID vaccines from being effective? And this is something that's got to be examined now. And again, this was all the injections, all the shots that are out there now, and anybody in the United States can get an injection now. There's no reason why you can't. Go to your local drugstore, there's so many, within a couple miles of your home, wherever you live, there's a place to get a COVID vaccine. And if you can get it, get it. All right. But the question is, what you're going to start to see surfacing now is, does the COVID vaccine work if you are taking another prescribed medication that affects your immunology and might thereby prevent from the COVID vaccine from doing its job? And let's find out on the next Andy DeMando show. No.
yeah.
But that'll
yeah.
be.
I think it'll be interesting. Well, it's just like anything, isn't it? We're still in the early stages of understanding just how well this vaccine is going to work. I mean, on the surface now, they think they've got it nailed, but they're still learning that, well, with all these variants, they're going to keep changing things up. And they're going to start seeing changes in humans as well. Humans? People. Sorry, people. They're going to start seeing change in people with how well these vaccines work
like
and don't
human
work.
Human people,
and...
right?
Yeah, human people. Human beings. So, we shall see.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
We also need to talk about Mike Pence back in the news again. He made a stop in New Hampshire last night. And Mike Pence, the former vice president, he defended his actions on January 6th, and the process may well have doomed or at least hampered his chances of emerging as Republican presidential nominee in 2024. Not that I think he'd have any chance of being the nominee anyway, no matter who's running, whether it's Trump or not. But what he said was, remember, you got a whole bunch of people out there who invaded who are part of this invasion and this insurrection on the Capitol, shouting, "Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence," right? These Trump disciples, right? So
yeah.
January 6th was a very dark day in the history of the United States. And Pence reiterated that in what he said, and I'll quote, he said, "That same day we reconvened the Congress and did our duty. President Trump and I have spoken several times since we left office, and I don't know if we'll ever see eye to eye on that day." Of course, Pence is right. The violent insurrection of the U.S. Capitol, which left more than 100 police officers injured, 5 people died, was inspired by the president of the United States, the sitting president at the time. We've never seen anything like that in our history. And Pence said, we did what we had to do. And remember that that formality of validating all the not to hammer on this again, as we've done so many times, closer to that date, it was a formality to officially validate the Electoral College ballots and votes, and that's all it was. It was a formality. It was a right. Biden won the election. He would have won whether he did it or not. He's in. He's sworn in. Bam, bam, bam. He won the election. There's no question about that. And Pence rightfully said, yeah, there is no question about it. Biden won the election. We did what we had to do. And now they're saying, oh, you're out. You're out.
Right.
Unreal. Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't believe this some of the time, Andy. I really can't.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We can go, and dive into that further, but we only have a few minutes left of the show. Amanda, you're going to go out, and actually after the show today, you're going to engage in
I want to do it. to hear this one. Hey, guys, I got off mute. I wanted to hear this one. I was like, okay.
I was going to say. Let's leave that as a dot, 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 so that the listeners can make up their own, their own conclusion what I'm getting up to.
This ain't reality TV!
I listened to a picture of it.
Oh, they do? I'll have to see what I can come up with.
Picture on Instagram.
I just didn't want you to think I was like one of your other girls.
Well, it's just true.
Yeah.
I have a reputation, you know.
Yeah. The fines is back.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Oh, yeah, there are. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll need to keep an eye out for that.
But
yeah, I'm off air after the show, yeah, and getting a taste of something.
Oh
my God. No,
yes.
Oh, thank you.
You know what that was? Thank you. That
sounded very familiar.
It was an Amanda Love song. I just want everybody to stay tuned because we're going to finish the show today with an Amanda Love song. After we sign off, we're going to hear an Amanda Love song. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great.
A couple reasons why. But first of all, because it's a great tune and you're a great composer and very talented. And the other reason is because because what you're about to do after the show.
Hey, now I'm gonna listen to the lyrics. I'm
definitely gonna
listen to the lyrics now.
Yeah,
it's really hard. Well, thank you, Andy. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah. Well, you guys have got much planned for the weekend, or?
I'm going to go shoot a commercial for our sponsor, Everything Boats Go Less. After the show, I'm going down to be on a boat down in Long Beach on a gorgeous 47-foot sailing yacht. I'm doing some commercials down there for our sponsor, Everything Boats for Less.
Fantastic.
If you own a boat, if you own an RV, if you're into the outdoors, if you like to clean and polish your car and take care of it, go to Everything Boats for Less. You wouldn't believe thousands of products for you, for boat owners, you name it, from complex navigation systems to cleaners and supplies and hardware and wires and cabling. Just name it, thousands of products, Everything Boats for Less. I haven't done my commercial yet. I'm going to go down there and shoot it. But anyway, so that's okay. What I'm doing, and I got really no big plans for the weekend. How about you, Cornell?
Well, actually, I was waiting to see what Amanda was going to do so I could post it up on it. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to be waiting. Well, actually, I'm thinking about going to Maryland this weekend to visit a family and, you know, just chill out in their backyard and, you know, just relax.
No,
and call Andy and Amanda.
Yeah. So that's it, folks. We're what a fun hour it's been on the Andy and Amanda show. We're off for the weekend, of course. We'll join you Monday at noon in the East Coast and 5 o'clock in the UK, and of course 9 a.m. here in the Pacific time zone. We want to thank everybody for joining us and thank you for listening to this podcast. Again, if you want to join us on the Monday show or any show, you can join us when we're live, obviously, at 5, as opposed to what? When we're live. No. Anyway, when we're doing the show live at 515-605. Yeah, yeah. 515-605-9888. Also, feel free to get in touch with the show by emailing us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. I also want to plug next Friday's show. We're going to have a real good friend of the show who's coming back on to join us again, Joe Johnson, who is a former member of the Harlem Globetrotters Washington Generals sports organization and is currently a coach of the Philadelphia 76ers minor league team. So, and he's fun. He's great. Got a personality. Give you some insight on basketball and on the Harlem Globetrotters. And we welcome Joe back on next Friday. But we will see you Monday. And that being said, everybody have a great weekend. Amanda, why don't you take us on home?
Okay. On behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love here in the UK, and Cornell Butler, our wonderful coordinator there in Delaware, thank you so much for joining the show, and we hope you enjoyed this Friday fun banter, and we hope to have you back on Monday to join us for some more madness, and maybe I'll reveal what I've actually been doing.
Can't wait. Cornell's looking for the video. And folks, don't go away. We're gonna finish the show with an we're going to finish the show with an Amanda Love song called
What's It All About?
No, that's not it. Wrong one. No, it's called it's called like, Come With Me.
Oh,
yes.
Do that, listeners. Come with me.
It's going to play. Everybody have a great weekend. This is a great song. Don't go away and check out what this amazingly talented composer put together. This is an Amanda Love original composition. We'll see you all on Monday. Take care, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.